Hi. Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy.
Every time I interview somebody in the industry, I learn something new, which of course is kind of the point. It is the whole reason that I started this podcast in the first place. And my conversation with Heidi Rue and Mike Stout was no exception. Heidi and Mike are the co-founders, co-owners of Atlanta Voiceover Studio, which they opened in 2016. Not only do they run the studio, they are themselves full-time voiceover actors, podcast hosts, and on-camera actors. They have voiced ads and promos for Hallmark, Jiffy Lube, Build-A-Bear, The Talking Dead, Nike, Sour Patch Kids, just to name a few. Now, in addition to that, they also have a YouTube channel that has great videos that cover many aspects of the voiceover industry, and they also have an online training program at provoiceovertraining.com. During our conversation, we talked about several things from home studio setup to key mistakes voice actors make. What I loved most, though, was their passion and enthusiasm for the industry and their craft. Heidi thinks the cool thing about VO is that all voices are needed. But she quickly adds, it isn't just about the voice. Mike, on the other hand, wants actors to know, you're going to fail, and that's okay. He says, give yourself time to learn and grow, because it's a process. He also says, if this is what you want to do, do it. I hope you learn from and enjoy my conversation with Heidi Rue and Mike Stout of the Atlanta Voiceover Studio. I would like to welcome Heidi Rue and Mike Stout, who are the co-founders of the Atlanta Voiceover Studio. And you have over 20 years of experience in the industry, whether it's voiceover, on-camera acting, or hosting. Mm. And you also have worked, both of you have worked in radio. So quite an extensive career that you've had so far. And Mike, you've worked on projects for Nike, Sour Patch Kids, Budweiser, Monroe, Shocks, and you're also working on The Talking Dead and Warby Parker. Did I get all of this? Okay, and I just saw today, I think it was, is it LG?
Yeah, you posted LG Appliances, about? LG Cord Zero.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're also in the thick of things. And Heidi, you've worked on GE, AutoNation, Hallmark, Jiffy Lube, Build-A-Bear, Subway, and Belk, mm-hmm. correct? As well, yeah. I mean, those are just a few of the things that you've worked on.
Yeah.
And you've also done the Heidi Rue Show and podcast, mm-hmm. And it was the, I'm going to get it wrong, the...
The Encourage Minute.
There we go. Yeah. I was like, I know it has minute in it, and I forgot to write it down, but...
Her creativity knows no bounds.
Right. Well, I know, because when I was doing my research, I typed in your name, obviously, because Google is a fabulous thing. And it just, all these things popped up that Heidi has done and, has started. And I know that it's kind of come, for most of them, you've brought them to an end because of the Atlanta Voiceover Studios. Am I correct in saying that?
Okay. Yes, that is correct.
And so both of you are sort of in it and actively working as voiceover artists. And listening to some of your podcast episodes and looking at your websites and the website for the studio, it became clear that your studio started not with what it is now in mind. It seems that you went from like 100 square feet to now 3,000, over 3,000 square feet.
Yeah. We started a little over 5 years ago.
Right.
It's when we first opened up. And then we actually didn't do classes for the first 6 months that we were open because that wasn't really our business.
Right.
Strategy or plan or, I mean,
100 square didn't really have a plan.
Yeah. Right. 100 square foot gets really tight too if you're trying to do a class in 100 square foot space.
Right.
So, yeah.
And just to add to that, I mean, Heidi's a fantastic interior decorator. And mm-hmm. so in that little space that we did have, that was the 10 by 12 room, she ended up getting these two chairs that looked good online and we thought would fit, but when we fit them in there, they basically took up the majority. It was almost as big as the voiceover booth that we had in there.
Oh, that's funny.
I think we got rid of those, didn't we, Mike?
Yes.
Mike was like, no more, Heidi. These things are way too huge for the spaces that we have. Way too huge.
And I'm sure they had cushions on them, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, pillows, throws. I mean.
I saw that. I think it may have been on your website, Heidi, but I was like, oh, my husband would be having a fit because he hates pillows. He's like, why do we have all these pillows?
Like, yeah, it was almost like he could double as a hookah bar.
That's funny. So when you started, because I know that you have lots of classes at the studio, and you have lots of other people coming in to teach those classes. Mm-hmm. Do you teach classes as well, or are you more interested in bringing others in?
Mm-hmm. We love teaching, but because the studio has grown so much, and now, of course, we do have great instructors on staff, and we just couldn't, it was so much to try and figure out the overall, like, kind of manage the studio as a whole,
right.
Plus teaching a class and our own VO careers that are very busy. And so we just decided to step away from that.
We always enjoyed being in front of the class and helping people, you know, seeing the light bulbs go off. But
right.
It just got to be too much with getting to the studio so early, doing auditions, then dealing with stuff with the studio, and then teaching and getting out of here at like 10, 10:30 at night. It just got to be too much.
Right. But so I have several friends who say, oh, I want to get into voiceovers. I don't think everybody understands the scope of what voiceovers can entail.
Mm-hmm.
So could you explain a little bit about what are the different types of VO that we can do as
Absolutely.
Artists?
Oh my gosh, there's so many genres within voiceover, and they're all wonderful. From commercials that you see on TV or you hear on radio, there's animation, like cartoons. Anime is huge. Narration, either in-show narration or audiobooks, promos, like before, like the Talking Dead, trailers, like you see for movies, which aren't necessarily the big Don LaFontaine trailers anymore, although they do abound. ADR, that's automated dialogue replacement for actors, and also looping, when you're watching a movie and you see the background and you hear that all that background noise, those extras aren't mic'd. Those are coming from actors who are in a studio going around as a loop group.
Mm-hmm.
Video games, there's radio imaging. Heidi does radio imaging for a network. There's IVR, telephony, like phone prompts, answering machines for businesses, e-learning, instructional and educational. There's announcements, PA announcements in airports, train depots, stuff like that. Heidi, if you think of any more, please jump in. But there seems to be just a growing amount. AI,
mm-hmm. Text-to-speech, yeah.
Text-to-speech, yeah. So it's growing.
It is, especially with technology advancing the way that it is. I mean, I think it's just new things are going to come up that we don't even know about yet.
That's right, Danielle.
Okay, that was creepy. That
was
not like that. So the voiceover, because like you mentioned ADR, and I just did an ADR session a couple of weeks ago, and the film and the TV industry in Atlanta has just exploded.
Mm.
I mean, I know it's been there for a while, but it seems that in the past 10 years maybe, it's just exploded. Has the voiceover industry kind of grown in that sort of same way?
Voiceover in Atlanta has always been here. I think that for different genres, there is some differences. Animation, you know, prior to COVID, really, there have been some people that have been successful with animation outside of LA. But most of the time, people, you need to be out in LA to do animation if you want to do that like full time. For even some of the promos, and the reason why is because they wanted you to go in studio and be in studio with the directors, with the other actors. For the promos, they wanted you to be there, you know, with the booth director. And COVID is more what has changed versus just the film industry coming to Atlanta. Okay. COVID changed that with animation. Now we're getting so many more animation opportunities. Because of COVID, they realized, oh, they don't have to be all right. in the same studio. And the same for video games as well. Now, for some stuff like ADR and looping, that hasn't quite caught up to the boom of the film industry here in Atlanta because it's post-production. Right. So a lot of post-production still is done in LA. And that is something that I know that we hope comes more to Atlanta. One of the things, now I'm not a post-production specialist by any means, but there is a guy, Ryan Millsap, who is here in Atlanta, and he owned Black Hall Studios, which is a huge soundstage studio in Atlanta. And one of the things that he was saying is that filming in Atlanta is still done here, but then everything else, distribution, post-production, everything goes back out to California. And so his heart and desire was to keep all of that here in Atlanta and not let it go back to California or LA.
Right.
And his solution is that the only way that's going to happen is if we create, start to finish things here in Atlanta. So he's starting a new streaming service that will be, that the projects will be created from start to finish here in Atlanta. And so will more post-production come to Atlanta? I hope so. But I don't know 100%. And there still is some ADR and looping here. There's still, you know, Tyler Perry right. is here and he does everything start to finish in Atlanta, which is great. So like my looping experience has been with the Tyler Perry Show. So there still is some, but it's just not as prevalent as in LA.
Hmm. Yeah. And topping off on that, Alex Puccinelli is from LA and he's led a couple of the ADR looping workshops here. He's trying to bring more of that here. And part of that is just convincing the people in LA that there's talented folks here who can actually do the job. And so he's building out his portion and making contacts with, is it Greg over at Crawford, Heidi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Greg over at Crawford, because Greg does a lot of the ADR stuff, that actually probably all of it, well, outside of, you know, Tyler, what you just mentioned, Heidi. But it's little by little. It's little by little.
Yeah.
So for any individual who, you know, now that we know all the different types of voiceover work that is available, if somebody, you know, came to your studio and said, I want to be a voice, people tell me I have a great voice, I should be in radio, or I should be doing voiceovers, what would be your advice to them? How would you tell them to proceed?
Run away.
Don't do it.
You know.
Okay, so that would be step one.
Right.
And if they come back.
Reverse psychology is our business plan.
Yes, that's
if
right.
If they come back and say, no, I'm not going to listen to that, what do I need to do?
You know, I was listening to another podcast, and the talent, who's a veteran talent, he's like, I always tell people, you know, It's a hard life. Don't do it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's brutally honest. We take a different tack. We're all about equipping and helping people move towards their dreams. I mean, if this is what you want to do, do it. But with that said, we'll always be honest with them. We tell them right up front, you have to have training. This is just like you see when you watch a movie or a TV show, you can recognize bad acting. Well, you can recognize bad voiceover actors. You can tell when they're just reading, you know, do I believe them? And if you don't, it takes you out. And, you know, if somebody's voicing a commercial and you think about something else, you're thinking about something else. They didn't do their job. So we always say get into classes, get into workshops, whether you train with us or elsewhere. And like we say, you know, all the time, train wherever, learn as much as you can, and then move on to the next place or move on to the next coach. It's just like on camera acting. But having that baseline of learning the craft is key. It's foundational. And at the same time, we also tell them, you're building your own voiceover business. This is your small business. So not only are you the talent, but at learning the craft, but you also have to be your own marketer. You have to be your own facing. How do we describe it, Heidi? It's like a restaurant, you know,
storefront.
The storefront. Yeah. So instead of having a physical building, you have your website. well, what are the keys that go into that restaurant, that building? Well, you got to have your demo. You've got to make contacts. And the cool thing with voiceover is that you can always book as you learn. You know, there's always going to be smaller clients who don't, you know, they don't have hundreds or thousands of dollars to spend. So you learn incrementally and you grow incrementally.
Right.
Heidi could probably put that into more succinct terms than I just said. But
no, I agree with everything that you're saying. I would add two more things. One is that what is so cool about voiceover, especially these days, is that all voices are needed and
right.
wanted.
Mm-hmm.
There is not one voice that you're like, oh, yeah, you can only do voiceover if you sound like that. That's
yeah.
just not
That's
true.
That's a great point.
Which is so encouraging, because if this is something that you have wanted to do and you're interested, but nobody's ever told you, hey, you should go into voiceover,
right.
you actually still probably could go into voiceover.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
You don't
so,
have to have this type yeah. of voice like in the
right.
1950s.
Or speak with the Queen's English.
That's right.
Yes.
yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that it's such a wonderful time, and that can be such an encouragement to people. And the second thing that I would say is, yes, it is hard. There, you know, days that I've cried, days I've thought, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I feel like it's the most rewarding thing that I've ever done in my life. And we both worked in radio, and radio was wonderful. But the thing about it is that the good and bad part about working in an organization is that, one, you only have to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you're getting a consistent paycheck. You know
Insurance.
That if something happens, you can go to HR or accounting
right.
or whatever. And then if you go into voiceover, you are all those things.
Right.
You
right.
are the HR person. You are the accounting. So it can be extremely hard. And the mental part is one of the hardest parts, because we get rejected all the time. We don't get feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so there's a lot that's on you. But
right.
also, I feel like there is the most, the sky's a limit to how much you can grow
yeah.
and how much you can do and explore. And that's one thing that I know was hard even in radio, is I felt like, gosh, I would love to try this. Well, I can't, because I do this
right.
job, and I can't try that job. And so in voiceover and on your own, you can do so much, and you always should be learning and growing. And, you know, I'm taking singing lessons right now, and I'm not, that's my voice. And it's because my voice is my instrument, and I'm going
right.
to keep growing and trying to figure that out. So yes, it is hard, but there's also some really great things about it. And if you can push through, it may be one of the most rewarding things you've ever done in your life.
It's a wonderful genre, or a wonderful business to get into. And if you, yeah, like she said, the mental resiliency can be a huge factor, but if you can push through that, I mean, it's just like on camera, right?
You
have to
do what I was just going to say.
You have to do what you can to pay the bills until you can do it full time. But there's nothing else like it. And just knowing that you're in control of so much, only so much, but what you have control over is huge. And if you can come back and you can keep saying, yes, I'm, you know what? Okay, so maybe things were tough, but today I got 1% better. If you can do that each day throughout a year, think of how much that just interest builds up, so to say. And with Heidi, I mean, we always tell the story, like people will come through and say, oh, thank you for, you know, the classes were great. I finally got my agent, but I haven't booked yet. It's been 3 months. You know, we always tell Heidi's story of 4 years. It was 4 years that she took, or mm-hmm. that it took for her to book through
wow.
her first agent. Now, she was
right.
getting jobs along the way, which
right.
anyone can do. But everybody's story is different, just like
right.
the on-camera side. And once you hear those breakthroughs, it's just so rewarding.
Well, and it is, I will say, you know, like Mike, you keep referring back to the on-camera. It is. I think that mental game is, you have to be mentally strong, because
mm-hmm.
otherwise it will destroy you. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it, I mean, it, it's not that it will destroy you, but it will crush you in mm-hmm. ways that you just, I've found it. I always have to be looking forward. It's always, okay, I didn't get that. That's fine. Whatever.
Right.
Let's move on. What's coming next? When do I get to play again? Basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I do think that is something that And it does, it is reassuring that it took you 4 years, because yeah. I do have that. I'm like, I thought that sounded good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't I book?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but you know.
Yeah. It's really tough.
But I'm glad that you talked about too the different voices and how, because that was one of my questions, but you've already answered it. I have noticed in when I get voiceover auditions, especially the ones that are asking for a British voice, and it will say not too announcery, not, yeah. you know, and they'll even put in regional, which is interesting to me, mm-hmm. Just because growing up, you know, on the BBC, it was all BBC. Right. And I think it's a good thing because it mm-hmm. reflects the world around us.
Well, yeah. And so. Nowadays, I mean, it's even better because a lot of auditions will come through. Now, I've got a friendly, conversational, everyday guy type. That's my essence. Mm-hmm. But then we get auditions that come through that say, we want something unique, something that cuts through. And so now's the time for somebody who, you know, they might have a quirky voice that's kind of up here mm-hmm. and this is just how they talk. And, right. you know, that's for them. This is for right. their time to shine.
Right. So what are some of the common mistakes that voiceover artists make, either mm-hmm. in their auditions, in their training, lack of training that you've seen?
Mike, do you want me to take this?
Yeah, I think you can thread it a little bit better than I can.
Okay. I don't know about
Mike is
that,
very self-deprecating.
I know, he is.
That neat, you know. Come on, Mike, you can do it.
I know, he really can. I think that one of the biggest things is expectations about the industry, and there are so many myths about voiceover. And so I think that going into, if you want a voiceover career, I think that some of the roadblocks for you could be an expectation. One, if you are an on-camera actor, go, well, I'm an on-camera actor, so voiceover, I will just do voiceover. Like, that's my, I don't need training because mm-hmm. I'm an on-camera actor and I've done this mm-hmm. or done that. So that's one of the things. I think the second thing is not realizing that it is a business. That the majority of people that we've talked to that, you know, that come in think that once you get on with an agent, then it's smooth sailing from there. Somebody will book mm-hmm. you on something and then you can just float by in your right. career. And to truly build a sustainable voiceover career, it does take work, and you can't ever just sit by and say, okay, great, I booked this one thing, then this is the rest of my career. I don't have to worry about it. Trends change, things change. You have to continue to evolve. You have mm-hmm. to continue to keep up with your clients, continue to have good relationships with your agents, other people in the industry. Agents retire. You know, you could be on, I mean, our agent, our first agent here in Atlanta, was wonderful, and he has done so much for both of our careers. Mm. He retired several years ago, and things have changed and things have shifted. And so if we just based our career off what he brought to the table for us, we would have right. been in dire straits.
And a lot of talent with that agent that we had, when things shifted, they were complaining a lot because they're like, I used to book all the time through XYZ. What's going on? It's like, the cheese has moved. You can't blame something that, you know, some new people took over and they're doing things the way that they are and figuring it out. And it's a wonderful opportunity to grow in this new situation and figure out what works. But a lot of these talent, they were just resting on their laurels with that one agent and not seeking and sending out to other talent or to other agencies. And that's huge. I mean, you're a business and you have to think that way.
I would just say that the other thing is you have to remember that your voice is your instrument, and it's an instrument that to truly master takes time mm-hmm. and it takes just, you know, it just takes lots of time and lots of practice and working on it. And then I think that the other thing, and I wouldn't say that a ton of people have made this mistake. This probably just happened because of something that happened last week. I would say this is kind of fresh on my mind. But always treat everyone that you come into contact with respect
yes.
and kindness. Yeah. And
not thinking they owe you.
Yeah. And just
right.
yes. and just be really careful, because in order for Mike and I's voiceover career to truly work, it's not just us. You know, it's our agents, it's our wonderful clients, it's, you know, our marketing people that help us with our promotional items. It's so many people that help us to with our career. It's the studio owners that think of us when they have, you know, a last minute thing that came up, that I have a session today, and it's thanks to these studio owners that I've just kept relationships with. Mm-hmm. And so, because sometimes it can be really easy to anything, like with your, when you're doing on camera stuff or voiceover, to go, I deserve this, or I should get that, or whatever. And yes, you need to know, obviously, you know, there's some standards as far as industry rates, but still there's a way to be really gentle about it and know that there's a lot of people working together to make your career work. Mm-hmm. And don't burn any bridges. You know?
Well, right. And I think that's so important, because I think in this industry, people do forget how small mm-hmm. the industry is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're bad-mouthing the person who's doing crafty one day, you have no idea what trajectory they are on.
Yeah.
And they are going to remember you if you have been awful.
Yeah.
You know?
And they might be the best friend of that other person that you're...
That's right. Or, you know, I mean, I just, it is, I think that's super important. Something that, Mike, you said, as far as not, you know, some of the voice talent that were, you know, with you in the same agency, and when that agent retired, you said they hadn't been reaching out to other agents, I guess, for a representation. So that is a question that I had, because looking at your website, you seem to be represented. There seems to be, you have a rep in like every city.
I have all the agents.
I'm like, I was looking at that. I was like, wait, what? It was like this list long, you know, this long. I just am with one agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and this is, you know, shows you what I don't know, obviously. So is that normal to reach out and get a rep?
Yeah.
Because that will change, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally different from on camera. All voiceover agents expect you to have more than one. Because if you are simply a voiceover agent, or if you simply just are, if you're a voiceover talent and you only have, they know you have to pay the bills. And it's not like on camera. And an agent, my Portland agent, isn't going to get the same stuff that my Atlanta agent will necessarily. There is crossover. And so you do have to have those conversations if you do get different agents. Like Heidi and I, we have a manager now. We're on with ACM. They get a lot of auditions that come through that some of our other agents will. So we'll have to pass on some of the other agents that would send the same thing, because otherwise we're paying more in commission. And whatnot. Right. But all voiceover agents know that you need to have more than one. And what we always tell people who come through the studio, you should shoot for having one in each area of the country. There's a reason why Heidi and I have so many, and specifically here in Atlanta, it's because one, we were on camera first, and that on camera department had a voiceover department. Mm-hmm. And so we were on with them. But then when we left, then we went to another place and they had a voiceover. So, you know, we still keep contacts and we've got great relationships with all of them, and they understand too, as well. But mm-hmm. we typically tell people to have an agent in each area of the country.
Well, now I know what's on my
to-do list for 2022. Uh-huh.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well,
so I would actually also, especially for you, Danielle, because you have an accent, I would encourage you to have probably even more agents than we would, because mm-hmm. when you do have something that's super unique and not as many people are going to be on the roster for that, mm-hmm. Well, if you have something that's unique, so say we had somebody that asked us about a Southern accent, and here's the thing, is that if you have an accent, if you have something unique or special or something like that, I wouldn't say lose that, because that's going to be something that's going to set you apart, and it is something that people are wanting more these days. But you have to think about almost like a lottery, is mm-hmm. that the quantity of auditions for somebody that has a specific accent or, you know, unique kind of vocal pattern or whatever is not going to be as great as somebody that has a clear, friendly, conversational kind of vanilla sound, you know, like me.
Right.
So what your goal should be is to try and say, where can I go to where I'm getting the most opportunities? Because the more opportunities that I have, the greater chances are that I'm going to book a greater percentage of those. So for you especially, I would say, you know, try and get as many as you can, because that will give you more opportunities overall.
Right. Huh. Okay. So, my brain is like,
sorry.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Do voiceover actors need to be actors? Do they need a training as an actor, or can they just be voiceover? And I don't mean just, because that's not fair and that doesn't do it justice. But, you know, somebody coming in and they say, oh, I'm not an actor, I just want to do voiceover. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them?
You know, yes, they do. But there's also been some successful voice actors that
they know what they're good at and they stick with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I would say that it is a very, very helpful tool to have a successful career in your tool belt.
And I would tack on that, yes, ultimately, to be sustainable, you do have to be an actor. We've had a lot of actors who've, just in conversation, it's interesting to talk with them because they're like, yeah, I'm an on-camera actor, but I just do voiceover to, you know, because I'll do that until I can make money and on camera. And it's like, okay, let's see how that works for you.
Right.
You know, but voiceover talent, like when they come through, if they were to come through from just a newbie to a sustainable career, I'd say that's one thing that they should throw into their arsenal, that you should take acting classes. You should take, especially if you have to jump right in, do improv. Because there's so many times where we get a voiceover audition that comes in and it says improv artists. What's the terminology, Heidi? We like improv.
Stand-up comics, improv.
Or add your own.
Ad-lib.
To the scene. And people need to, the voiceover talent need to understand that it's not just throwing all these words up there like an improv class. It's figuring out, okay, this is a scene where it's a, I'm responding to my daughter just getting married and or just getting proposed to, and I'm saying, honey, this is fantastic. You know, it's keeping it within the context, but it's freeing yourself up to not just get in your head about, oh, I have to deliver the line like this. There's a difference between, oh, honey, that's great, and, oh, honey, that is so great. You know, it's just the difference. And if you don't understand that, then you need to take classes to get to that point. And acting is huge.
Right.
I'd like to add to one quick story that just happened. There was somebody that we met at one of our events, and she has like such a unique sound and abilities, and I won't get too far into it, but I reached out to somebody that I knew because I was like, I'm going to try and put you in contact with somebody that could help you get opportunities. And I did. And they said, the person that I, you know, referred them to, said, thank you so much. I do have to tell you that I did book this person on a job, but we had to recast because of the acting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
So the voice was super unique. There was a lot to offer as far as that goes. But when it came down to it, you know, they didn't have the acting chops. And honestly, you can get in the door, you could book a job without having that, but once you book that job, if you don't have it, it could be a detriment to your career, and those people are never gonna, they may not ever work with you again.
You need to understand how to use your instrument
and to be able to be directed. Is
that was going to be my comment. It's like, without the acting skills, then you're not going to understand. If you're being redirected, you're not going to understand what it is that they're probably asking you to do.
Yeah, and I had a time before, this was probably a few years ago, where I booked, I think it was the TV version of a commercial. And I went in there, I did my gig, and then they were bringing somebody else in to do the radio because they wanted a different voice for that. Well, within 15 minutes, I get a call after I left the studio, and they said, hey, can you come back, or can you go back over to the studio And I said, yeah, no problem. I'll just turn around. And I said, what happened? Well, they kind of want you to do the radio too, because the person they hired, they booked off the demo and they couldn't take direction. They couldn't go where we wanted them to. They couldn't recreate what was on the demo. So it's so important, you know, from the acting side, but also to genuinely showcase what you actually are good at and can back that up.
Right. Is the preparation then for a voiceover very similar to what on-camera actors do, as far as, you know, you have to know who you're talking to, you have to know what you're saying, you have to know why you're saying it, you have to know what's happened the moment before, you have to know what's going to happen. I mean, would you, is that
100%? That's all in them? Mm-hmm. And I would say that probably could be also filed under a mistake that a lot of people make. Mm-hmm. We tell so many people when we started the studio, you know, people would come in for auditions, which was great to see. And to hear, and you know, we'd encourage them. But the one thing that I saw again and again is, if people asked for any feedback, I said, well, tell me what you're saying and why you're saying it. And they didn't know. And I think because you have a script where you don't have to memorize it, you know, it's right there. Again, people think it's just the voice. Then for some reason, that gives them permission, they think, to just read the script and that's it.
With a nice voice and go up on this word and have nice inflections and that's all it's about.
Yeah. And so, yes, so that is extremely important. And I guarantee you, if anyone's listening and you do voiceover, or if you, you know, have voiceover auditions, if you know what you're saying and why you're saying it, then already you're setting yourself apart. Mm-hmm. In those auditions that you send in, because we've heard a lot, and a lot of the auditions, they don't know. It's not connected. They don't know what they're saying and why that they're saying it. And you'll set yourself apart just by being able to do that.
And I don't know what it is, but it's just, I mean, there's the big difference of knowing what you're saying, but just on the base level, it just comes through when you're listening. You know, you can tell this, okay, they're just, that's weird, you know.
They're just saying words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Danielle, even like for on-camera stuff, it's heightened all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So when you see somebody's face on the big screen, right, you know, every movement that they make almost feels, if it's too much, it feels fake. It doesn't feel real. Mm-hmm. And it's those subtle movements that you see, you pay attention to. It's the same thing with voice that we don't usually recognize on a day-to-day basis, unless we're in the field of voiceover. Those subtleties make all the difference in the world.
And when you're talking about those subtleties and those, I'm assuming an example of that is actually smiling when you're saying something in the script that is, you know, it's fun, it's that we can hear it. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not physically smiling, then it's not going to come through.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of subtleties that you're...
Yeah, smiling, you know, it can be, we can get even down to like specifics. One of the things that we talk about a lot is proximity, and everybody's voice is different. And so... when Mike is talking to somebody, you know, it can feel like just a regular talking to. If somebody that has this huge booming voice or something is in their booth and they're talking into their microphone, and they may be having the person right in front of them, like maybe 5 inches in front of them, but it may sound like they're actually talking in an auditorium. So they may have to bring that person even closer to where it's almost like they're right up against their mouth. That makes all the difference in the world, is the proximity of where that person is that you're talking to. Every single sentence, especially in voiceover copy, but even with animation, every sentence has been crafted in such a specific way. And you can change the meaning so easily by doing several different things of just that one sentence, and that changes the message. It may change the delivery. It's a really beautiful thing. That's what I love about voiceover. It's this beautiful, beautiful art that I feel like, at least.
And it's hard to, it's also weird to say that too, especially when you have to read the line 99-cent wings Wednesday night at Hooters, you know. How do you make that?
Of all places.
Yeah.
How do you make that sound?
But it's still, it's so fulfilling when, you know, it's not just, just, you're just reading it. You're actually putting something in it, and, you know, you're teaming up with the creatives when you're in the booth, and, you know, they're hearing it one way, you're hearing it another, and then you both collaborate to make something that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing too is that you're actually, especially in commercials, like with the 99-cent wings, you're trying to sell a product. Mm-hmm. And so it is that if I'm not interested in what you're saying, or you don't catch my attention, mm-hmm. you haven't sold the product.
Yeah. Right. And what's so hard, especially these days, as we say all the time, tell, not sell. So, mm-hmm. you know, the ads right. these days, and I know you weren't meaning that, but, mm-hmm. you know, these days the ads, it's just like before, what people used to choose voice talent for is to be the spokesperson. They're mm-hmm. the messenger of this brand. Well, these days that has changed, especially for national commercials. And one of the reasons why the accents are great, and regionalisms, and mm-hmm. you know, more unique voices, because no longer is it as a spokesperson for the brand, but it's actually a representative of the client and the person right. that's buying it. Because what they're saying is, hey, man, these wings are amazing, and they're only 99 cents. That's crazy, you know.
Right.
Not even saying like, hey, come and get it, but you have to almost have that that idea of like, look, this is great, it's awesome, if you want it, cool, but if not, that's okay.
It's like, but it creates a connection between you and whoever's listening yeah. to that mm-hmm. audio or watching the commercial. Mm. Yeah. So moving forward, so you know we want to be voiceover artists, and with the pandemic, I get the sense that more and more places are wanting you to have your own booth. So that this thing around me,
Danielle's in her booth right now. Looks great.
I am. It's not anything nearly as professional as what yours looks like. But it was because I was, during the pandemic, I was getting so many voiceover auditions. And so I literally built these panels, and I bought some of that soundproofing foam, and, you know, I went to the Goodwill. You can see blankets behind me and moving blankets. But so, and I did this partly because of the auditions I was getting, but also because of the podcast. So, but is that something that you would recommend, that people who want to get into voiceovers, should they be seriously thinking about creating a room, preferably in the house, that they can easily treat for sound? Is that?
I would say yes. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to do you don't need to go all out up front if you're just getting into it. Only get what you need at the time that you need it. You don't need to spend thousands of dollars on a whisper room booth or create a room in your house unless you're doing it on the regular and you're getting more opportunities. And once those opportunities come, if you have the opportunity to book and they are going to need that home studio, then yeah, right. you need to have it up and running by then. But starting out, simply going into your closet, you need to have a space where you can record something. And the closet is always the best part if you're not going to have a studio, because you've got clothing in there that's going to absorb the sound reflections. So what a closet does with those clothing is, when your voice goes in there, it's not reflecting off bare walls. It's actually going into the clothing, hitting the wall, coming back through the clothing, and coming back onto the mic. So any time that you have an area like that, you can also, on the cheap, just go to Goodwill like you did, Danielle, get some of those moving blankets. Put them in areas, or pillows. Take yeah. pillows, cover up any bare walls. It's just going to sound that much better. If you want to move on from that, if you want to start treating a space, we've got a home studio expert basically on staff. James mm-hmm. is wonderful with this. He's done a ton of research and can basically diagnose any space. But 4-inch thick foam works wonders if you have a dedicated space. You've got to put bass traps in that space. There's a whole art form around it, but treating your room is one of the most important things, even over having a good mic. You can get a great mic for $250 and up. But if your room isn't treated well, it doesn't matter if you have a $4,000 U87, you know, Neumann. You can have one of those, and if your room is treated horribly or you don't have any treatment at all, it's going to sound like crap.
Right, right.
But you don't need it right up front. You know, mm-hmm. go as you can, and then start investing, figuring out what you need. If you don't know what you need, get with the experts to teach you that portion.
And another thing that you may want to try, if especially for on-camera actors, I mean, that's the whole reason why we opened up the studio, honestly, is because we're both on-camera actors. We have lots of friends that are, and they would get these voiceover auditions, but they would get it once every few months. But the thing about it is like, that's ridiculous to spend, you know, $2,000 or something like that on a home studio when you're getting an audition maybe once every few months. But also, there's no reason that you should miss out on that audition opportunity, especially as on-camera actors. A voiceover is a great way to diversify, and you can still do it and do on-camera stuff. It's a wonderful dual thing that you can do and that you should take advantage of. But also, if you're like, I don't have the money to do that, whatever, then just set up something to where you could do the auditions. And then wherever you are, if you have a local studio, you probably have a local studio unless you're like really, really out in the middle of nowhere. But you probably have a local studio that you can call up and say, hey, listen, what are your talent rates in case I'm a voice talent, but I audition from home? If I book something, you know, could I potentially come in there to record it? If you're in Atlanta, call us. You know, we not only have during the weekdays, you can set up a time to come in and do an audition. If you book a job, we have a great talent rate and you can come in. You have an engineer, like everything is taken care of, so you don't have to worry about it. It's very affordable. And then that way you're not missing out on that job opportunity, but you're also not having to worry about learning the engineering side, doing all of that as well.
Right.
So if that you have an audition that comes through and says must have Source Connect, and you're a talent that doesn't have a Source Connect, if you audition for that, is that going to kind of ding you? Is that going to be something like, if you do book it and you say, okay, great, well, I'm going to set up my session at Atlanta Voiceover Studio, are they going to be like, no, we're getting rid of you. This is ridiculous. We said must have Source Connect. So here's what I will say is that most of the time, we have found that clients are okay with you setting up another studio, even if it says must have Source Connect. Now, a lot of auditions too are saying must have Source Connect or access to a studio. Now, the only time that I've run into that was when things were really, really locked down, and it was an animation and it was for children, and the studio out in LA, I mean, they were very, very tight, and just legally, they couldn't ask a child to go into a studio.
Right.
So it had to be home studio. There just were legal reasons. Right. So that's the only thing I think that could be a potential problem. You know, if there is like another major lockdown, that could potentially, that's the only issue that I see. But most of the time it has been totally fine. And we've had a lot of talent that booked that. Now, what I will say is to make sure you communicate very clearly with your agent.
Yes.
First and foremost, and say, hey, listen, but I've got this studio. I've got Atlanta Voiceover Studio, and I know that they can probably fit me in. As long as I have, like, you know, 24, 48-hour notice, then they can fit me in. We can get this scheduled. It shouldn't be a problem. You know, if you're okay with that, I'd love to audition for this. And I think most agents are going to say, that's totally fine. Thank you so much for telling me that. Because then that way, if the client comes back and say, hey, what are her avails? Just say, great, we can give you avails 48 hours out. You know, like they'll be able to kind of navigate it a little bit more for you, so you're not put in a weird position.
And that's part of having your voiceover business intact, knowing that, okay, I don't have the home studio yet, but I've got three studios on call. If the first one doesn't work out, I've got backups.
And I need a 5-hour window so I can drive so I can drive to Atlanta. No, we have, well, they've got, you know, there's the one in Charlotte, too, the ground crew.
Yeah. So.
Communication is key.
Right. Wow. Well, we got through all of, and then some, all of the questions that I had. Do you have anything else that maybe I haven't touched on that you feel actors, voice talent, they should know?
I think that I would like to just say, if you feel lost, if you feel discouraged, please know that that is normal. And that as long as Mike and I have been doing this, we still have days where we feel that. Now, a lot of times it doesn't last as long. We now have ways of talking to ourselves to diminish that. But just know that you're not alone. And that is one of our purposes at the studio, is to elevate, equip, and inspire. And we want to encourage you. We want to be a place that, you know, you don't just come for classes, or, you know, we're doing some social things and online stuff. But our goal is to help you know that you're not alone, and that this is hard, but we can do it. And we're going to try and provide the resources to help you do that, or point you to somebody that can.
And I would just add, remember that it's a process. You know, you're going to fail. We all fail. There's no big deal about that anymore. You fail forward. You learn from it, and you pick yourself up and go. And give yourself that time to learn and to grow. And you can, if you break things down into bite-sized chunks of knowing where you want to be and then figuring out what it's going to take to get there, it's a whole lot more manageable. And that goes for voiceover as well as on camera and life, really. But especially when you have a craft that we're all trying to learn and grow in, breaking it down like that can be, you're going to realize, oh, okay, these are just the small steps that I need to get there. And it's so much more manageable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love both of those sentiments, just because we can feel alone.
Oh, we're here. I'm sorry, Danielle. Also,
no,
run
ahead.
Away.
And then
bring
come
back.
Full circle.
And then come back. Well, Heidi and Mike, this has been so much fun. I said we would talk for about an hour. It's been an hour and 20 minutes. Before I let you go, I do want to make sure that the listeners know they can reach you on pretty much any social media platform, from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you on Twitter as much.
We're not on, I mean, we are on Twitter. We're
not
as
just,
active on Twitter.
No.
Yeah.
I've seen TikTok and I've seen Instagram. Mm-hmm. So is it just under the handle
Atlanta Voiceover Studio? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Heidi and Mike, very much for coming and giving me this much of your time.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you, Danielle.
Answering all these questions.
It was great to talk to you.
It was fun. Yeah, it was great fun.
That's it for today's episode of Actors Group Conversations on Craft. This is your host, Danielle Taume, and I want to thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, or if you enjoy the podcast in general, please feel free to rate and review it on iTunes. You can also ask me a question or leave me a comment on the Actors Group Conversations on Craft Facebook group page. Until next time.